Praise the Lord. Okay. Last week, I looked at wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, the seas and waves roaring, wildfires, diseases, and flooding. You know, these are all signs, and we can call them signs of the times. But I saved the signs in the sun and the moon and the stars for this message. The one we call Jesus came to earth, he came through a virgin. And this was foretold. It was a sign that he was coming, that this was the one. And there was a star that appeared, and it revealed to the oriental stargazers of the time, it revealed his coming. And they followed that sign for about 2 years to find him. He wasn't a little baby in the manger whenever they showed up. He was about 2 years old. In fact, we know that because the narrative tells us whenever these wise guys showed up, they talked to the king, and the king said, well, when did the star first appear? And they said, about 2 years ago. And we know that because he sent out his guys to go kill all the babies that were born from 2 years ago till present. At that time, the star appeared, revealed his coming. And there was the sign is called the Bethlehem Star. Astronomers say that star showed up back when Abraham came on the scene. And it showed up again September 23rd, 2015. Same star. And they know because they have computer models to run out the stars. How the stars follow an exact pattern, I can't tell you. It's all by God's design, I'm sure. But that star, that Bethlehem Star, showed up 2 years ago, according to these astronomers. And that's, I guess, just about 2 years ago. The one that we call Jesus predicted there would be signs preceding the coming of the Son of Man, as Daniel predicted. Daniel tells us, I was watching in the night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. In other words, the King of Kings, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Hebrew Messiah. This is who Daniel was foretelling, and he came, just as was predicted. The signs revealed that he was coming, and he arrived, just as predicted. And so as we continue, I'll ask again, what signs? What signs are we supposed to be looking at? Let's open our Bibles to the 21st chapter of Luke's gospel record. Luke chapter 21. We're just going to read a very brief passage. Now, usually, you all know, I read the whole chapter. But today, I think it's best that we just focus on that little piece from verse 25 to 28. Now, you'll find that on page, 709 in the Pew Bible. We're going to begin at verse 25 and read through verse 28. But let's pause for a moment and pray for God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we're coming before you to read your word together. Even though a small piece of it, Lord, we ask that you would guide us as we look into your word, as we look, Lord, to see what are the signs that we are to be following, that we are to be looking for. Help us, Lord. Guide us. Give us, Lord, open ears and open eyes, that we would receive your truth with fullness. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to hear what is written in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then he went on to speak a parable. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word today. I ask that he would give me unction to speak. Amen. Jesus gave the prophetic message about the signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. This was a prophecy. The servants of God are instructed to pay attention to the signs. We'll get to that a little later, where Jesus repeatedly said, watch, because you don't know when it's going to happen. Watch. Be watchful. Remain watchful. Don't stop watching. Keep watching. The signs are guides that help us get where we're going and help us to know where we are. When you get behind the wheel, for example, you pay attention to the signs. They help you reach your destination safely. And sometimes the signs reveal specific information like mile markers. We have truckers who attend services here, and they rely on the mile markers to know where they are at any given time. There's markers, and then there's distance signs. Next town, 10 miles. Gasoline in the next stop. Food. Some signs are very specific, like the mile markers. They say mile 15 or 175 or whatever the numbers are. And others are general, like the gasoline at the next stop. Some signs give us, like the highway numbering, say, for example, State Route 68, State Route 8, State Route 38. Then you've got US 422. Then you've got Interstate 79 and Interstate 80. Those numbers, those numbering systems, those signs help us to know where we are. And they help to guide us to where we are going. And servants of God use prophetic signs as guides in this same way. The Bible is our guidebook, and it contains all of the signs. When you read through this Bible, you will find all of the signs that were predicted of Jesus' coming, and then you will see that those signs arrived the first time he came. And you'll also see signs of his second coming, the signs that are foretold and are starting to be fulfilled. We are journeying toward eternal life. Each and every one of us, no matter what age we are heading toward our eternal life. We will all live forever. But where will we live forever? That's the question. And there's signs of that too. If you want to arrive safely, you must pay attention to the signs. The signs in the sun and the moon and the stars point us to something specific. Christ's coming. Christ's coming is foretold. His return is foretold. And it's a very specific event that's going to take place at a specific time that none of us know. We are not given the day, nor are we given the hour. But we are given signs that let us know that he's approaching. He's on his way. These are general signs. They're not specific. It doesn't say, well, we've got 5 more miles till Jesus shows up, okay? Or we've got 10 days till Jesus is here. They're not specific. They're general. He's coming. We know he's on his way, but we don't know how far away, how much time we will have to go through till he gets here. They don't give us the exact details of where we are in relationship to his return and our destination. None of us know. None of us are given, when the day that we wake up, none of us are given an opportunity to know whether we will breathe our last on this particular day. We don't know. But what we do know is if we are right with God, we have an eternal destination and we will never stop living. We will live eternally in the bliss of God, in the presence of Almighty God. Those signs are useful. The signs let us know we're closing in on our destination. Indeed, on our eternal destiny. You know, there are a lot of signs in the sun today. These days. In fact, in the last 7, 8, 10 days. Let's see, today's the 17th, so it's probably 17 days now. There are gigantic eruptions of energy happening on the sun. The sun is having these bursts of energy that are coming out of it. Now, most of them miss the earth. Most of them. Every once in a while, one comes along and kind of skims off and bounces our magnetic energy field. And then even planes are rerouted to go around that because they're concerned that it will cause some problems with navigation. These gigantic eruptions of energy from the sun are phenomena that are called solar flares and coronal mass ejections. There's an eruption on the sun, and its energy comes out at millions of miles per hour. Now, when you see a flash, it comes to the earth. You see the light, it gets there quickly, okay? These are two different things, the flares and the coronal mass ejections. They're two different things. Now, the scientists have gotten better and better at watching these solar storms. And they are better and better, just like tornadoes and earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. They're better to predict them, but they can't stop them from doing what they do. They can tell you, this is coming, but they can't tell you what's going to happen when it gets there. You remember the hurricane last Sunday. We were talking about this hurricane they called Irma coming up into Florida. We have family there. We have friends there. We were concerned for them because we didn't know what it was going to do. Fortunately, it wasn't near as bad as what was possible. But these gigantic energy releases from the sun could seriously disrupt things here. A solar flare is a burst of light. It can occur when the sun has a coronal mass ejection. These two things can happen at the same time. They don't always. Sometimes the flash of light is one thing, sometimes the ejection is another, and usually there's a flash of light that comes with the ejection. The light from a solar flare takes about 8 minutes to reach the earth. But the energy from and the mass, the material that comes off the sun, these magnetized particles that actually come to the earth, they can take days. And that energy can be much more disruptive. The area of the atmosphere that carries radio waves can be disturbed by a solar flare. Radio waves. Right now, we're going through the air with this projection, this Skyping. We're going through the air into the internet box, which is then going into a cable, which is then going somewhere else and being projected somewhere. That could stop. That's just one little thing that could stop by one of these eruptions on the sun. It can reduce the radio transmission quality, which a solar flare, just a flash, could disrupt things. It could mess things up. Wouldn't necessarily stop it. GPS can be affected, and it can cause temporary loss of navigation and communication signals. Planes, trains, and automobiles could be affected. But not real bad, because it would hit and go away. So there might be like a temporary problem that maybe would get fixed before there was a major problem, before the plane crashed, or before the train wrecked, or before the car wasn't able to be steered. A lot of cars now, they don't even have steering rods from the, Jim, am I correct, from the steering column or from the steering wheel down to the suspension anymore. They're belt driven or something. I don't even know.
A little electric motor.
Little electric motor.
A power steering motor
is what directs that. So electrical, forget it. You're not going to have it. If something hits major, we're not going to have that kind of electricity in a car. With those nasty coronal mass ejections, they can seriously reduce or knock out radio communication altogether. They can release large quantities of matter and electromagnetic radiation into space above the sun's surface, and they do regularly. We had about 7 major eruptions in the last 10 or 14 days. Fortunately, most of that missed us because the sun wasn't facing us directly whenever it released it. And so it didn't hit the earth. That area of the sun's facing the earth, that matter and energy that comes off the surface of the sun, it'll reach the earth. It can really mess with the earth's magnetic fields, and it can deeply affect many of the technologies that we rely on in our lives today. It's a sign. It's a sign that we have to pay attention to, and scientists are doing a pretty good job of that, but it's not being reported. When was the last time you heard about it? Silence flashes over the congregation. Well, there's some news outlets that do report on it when it gets really bad, or it might get really bad. I saw some videos this morning. I was doing a little more research just to make sure that I was on target with the message. There were some news outlets, major news outlets, that reported on these sun flares. CNN and CBS and some of the others. They say it's not to worry about. We just want to let you know, just in case. Because they really don't know. The high-frequency radio waves could be stopped. You know, the stuff that goes through our system up in the air. GPS can be heard or wiped out. And one of the biggest things is electric service can be wiped out by magnetic oscillations that overload the utility grids. We could go without electric. And as I said, it's interesting that the sun has emitted 7 massive solar flares in the last week or so. Planes were rerouted as a precaution. Now, you don't hear about all this, right? I mean, it's not like they're... But you hear about North Korea, North Korea, North Korea! I don't think North Korea... I think North Korea is a flash bang. Look over here, because there's really something bad over here on the other side, okay? It got you looking at something that doesn't really matter in the big picture. One of those was the most energetic in the last 10 years. It's like a 9-point something in their scale. Now, the highest that has ever been recorded was 0.28 or something, okay? But then, the second one was observed on, a big one, was observed on September 10th. And these solar storms are happening all the time. And then we're seeing these weather patterns changing on Earth. We're seeing all of these catastrophes that we talked about in the message last week. We're seeing all these things happening, and we're wondering, what's making this happen? And we don't even know. Now, who controls the sun and the moon and the stars, if not their creator? I'll tell you what, folks, I believe Almighty God is angry with us humans. And I think many of us, especially in this land, have really upset him with the way that we have lived our lives, how we have such a disregard for life, with all of the abortion that's going on, all of the murder all across this land. We're now, it's okay to kill old folks, right? You know, all of us are not exactly spring chickens. And by the time we get there, it may be all right. Well, they come in, they don't have any quality of life. Let's give them a jolt. Boom, send them on their way. Next. Now try for a moment. Okay, try for a moment. To think about damage from one of these solar events that could take years to repair. That's what scientists are saying. It could take years to repair the electric grid, for example. Try imagining living without electricity for 24 hours. Oh, that's not too bad, right? We've done that. All of us have had at least electric out for a day or two or maybe even a week. Well, I can remember we were out for 10 days one time across the road here. But what about a year, or 3 years, or 5 years, or 10 years without electricity? Everything would change. Everything, as we know it, would change. And how would that affect our lives? What about going without internet, television, newspapers and other forms of media. How would we find out what's going on? Wouldn't be able to, would we? We'd have to go by word of mouth. And how would we do that? We'd go back to the Stone Ages, folks. That's what would happen. No electricity would mean all of those things would stop altogether, at least for a while. And so I have to ask myself, would this be a part of the coming tribulation where God says it's going to get worse than it ever has been on earth ever before and never will be that bad ever again? It could be. It's a sign. It's a possibility. It's something that says, pay attention. When we look at Peter's epistles, Peter says, when all these things are to be burning up, what manner of people should we be? We should be living our lives holy before Almighty God because He's a holy God. He doesn't want us to live in sin. He wants us to live righteously. I think God has removed the leash. I don't think we have any more room to move, folks. I think He's reeling us in and His people have to come to Him. I think we need to turn to Him away from everything and anything that's contrary to Him. You know, there's an international team of scientists that found that there has been a significant increase in the sun's radioactive output during the 20th century. An increase in the radioactive output of the sun in the 20th century, the last 100 years. They examined meteorites that had fallen to Earth in the past 240 years. And they analyzed the amount of titanium-44, which is a radioactive isotope. Don't ask me to describe it any further than that, folks, because I can't. Their conclusion was that the sun is emitting more energy. And in 1976, there was a solar astronomer named Jack Eddy who published a paper that became renowned about the historical records of sunspots. So, in our lifetimes, scientists have gotten better and better at recognizing that the sun is changing. There are signs in the sun. This Jack Eddy's paper showed how some variations in solar activity are connected with major climactic shifts, like the mini ice age that took place in the 17th century. It's the sun. Now, there's some in the world that would want you to believe that every time you start your car, you're the problem. Well, you might be a little tiny part of it. But it certainly has less to do with anything than all of the other stuff that's happening. A NASA-funded study noted an increase in the amount of solar radiation that the sun emits during times of quiet sunspot activity. Signs in the sun. Jesus said so. NASA observed that the people that did the study, funded by NASA, noticed that the increase has been almost 0.05% per decade since the late 1970s. Now, that might not seem like a big percentage, but a half of 1% is a significant increase when you're talking about the volume of energy that the sun emits. Some studies show sunspot activities doubled in the last century, and the sun glows about 0.1% brighter now than it did 100 years ago. In our lifetimes, we have seen, and we are seeing, and we will continue to see signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. When those four total eclipses of the moon that were called the blood moons were coming, as they were approaching, some people wrote books and gave talks and made money. I wasn't one of them. They predicted something big was about to happen. And like so many of these things, they come and they go. And then another one comes and they write a book and they give a talk and they make money. The recent total eclipse of the sun crossed from Oregon to the Carolinas. If you think of Earth, and then you think of the United States, okay? From Oregon to the Carolinas, it went down. The next one, 7 years from now, is going to go from Texas to Maine. putting an X right over America. Now you tell me that that isn't somehow an act of God. That's just science, right? That's not a sign. Come on. America's got God's grace. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea, right? A new planet, at least it's been reported to be a new planet, it's four times the size of Jupiter, called Planet X or Nibiru, depending on who you ask. It's said to have a 3,600-year highly elliptic orbit. In other words, it's more oblong than circular. So it's swinging way out far away from us, and it comes back close to us. It's getting close, according to scientists. Some, anyway. And those who are watching this thing say that when it comes swinging past Earth, all kinds of things are going to happen. They call it the destroyer planet. I don't know. I haven't done much research on it, folks. If it's real, it could be a serious problem. It could be a real sign in the heavens. And then there's all this talk about September 23rd, 2017. There's a sign that's going to form in the heavens that's believed by many to fulfill the prophecy found in Revelation chapter 12. If you get your Bibles open to page 829 there in the Pew Bibles, we're going to read that. Revelation 12, we'll just read the first six verses. Some only read the first two verses. Revelation chapter 12. We'll read the first six verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Signs. What signs? There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Well, there are people that say, these star watchers, they say that the constellation of Virgo, which means virgin, will be aligned with the constellation called Leo. Leo will be at the head of Virgo. And with Leo's planets, the stars, and three planets will align in perfect alignment over her head, it could be perceived to be a crown, but tilted to the side instead of directly over her head. Now, there are some that argue that it's not a crown because those three planets aren't stars, even though they emit light looking from Earth. The 9 stars of Leo plus Mercury, Mars, and Venus total 12, and that, if it's true, would fulfill this prophecy. She will be clothed with the sun. The sun will actually pass through Virgo. And for a time, you won't be able to see it. Now, some say that the sun's going to go dark for 3 hours. Jupiter will pass through the constellation Virgo after circling in the area that represents the womb for 9 months. Jupiter came into and has circled around and is passing out of Virgo. These are star watchers. I'm not a star watcher. I'm not an astronomer. I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm just reporting to you what I have observed by my research. And they liken this to the virgin giving birth. Some tie it to the Virgin Mary and the bringing of Yeshua in the first place. And also, they tie it to the second coming. Scientists say that this particular alignment will never happen again. Gives it some credibility. If it's never happened before, and it will never happen again, this could be the sign of the times that's foretold in Revelation chapter 12. And so I have to ask, is this a literal fulfillment of that prophecy which is written in Revelation 12? And if so, what does it mean? Some would have others believe that Jesus is coming and he's going to rapture his church out. Then there's going to be tribulation on the earth as such as has never been seen before. I'll tell you what Jesus said. He said, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. It doesn't matter to me if this is the time when he's returning. He's telling us to be prepared. He's on his way. Whether he shows up in a week from now or not, I highly doubt that he will. I suspect that I'll be here next Sunday preaching from this pulpit, the same as I have every time somebody else has predicted that Jesus was coming back on a particular day. A lot of Christians are looking at this event as the return of Christ to take his people before that tribulation. A dragon being thrown to earth represents Satan, and according to some, that means he will be unleashed here for that tribulation period. As I said, I'm guessing I'll be here next week. There are some people that say, well, when you look at what the Bible says, look in the Psalms and some of the other passages of Scripture, it calls the sun, not Jupiter. The sun is the representation of Jesus, the one who has the rod of iron. If you do a search on the rod of iron, you'll find that it's referring to Christ, not to Jupiter. Jupiter is the Antichrist's king. And I can't go into all the details of that. I don't have it up here, and I don't have it in notes. But they say there's no way that this is a sign of Revelation 12 coming to pass. I personally don't care if it is or it isn't. I'm prepared. I'm ready. If the Lord comes to take me out, I'll go. But if he doesn't, then I'll stay. And no matter where I'm at, I'll preach and I'll teach and I'll share whatever it is he lays on me to share and teach and preach. I believe no matter what happens, though, we must be watchful. You know, I can't cover all the human teachings on the rapture and Christ's return, but I got to tell you, folks, I know a lot of them have it wrong. I'm absolutely certain of that because I've studied the Scriptures, and the Scriptures show that what they teach is different from what the Scriptures teach. So I'm not going to go into all that. That's a series of messages to look at. But I know we are to be watchful. Listen to what Jesus says. It's written in Matthew chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When's he coming? After the tribulation of those days? That's what he said. He said he's coming after the tribulation of those days that he spoke of. He'll send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the others. And then a little further along in Matthew 24, we hear Jesus saying, just as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, you're not going to know. The world is not going to know. Noah knew. His family knew, but the people didn't know. The people had no idea. And then we hear in Mark chapter 13, Jesus again speaking. He's the authority. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. He's not talking about you having your head on the pillow, folks. He's talking about you not being in right standing with him. That's what he's talking about. Because if it was just about sleeping, he wouldn't have said, well, you don't know if he's going to come in the evening. You don't know if he's going to come in the daytime. And I'll tell you, as Jesus told Peter, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He doesn't want us to be out there sinning it up, folks. He wants us to be standing ready for him to come and take us with him. Watch, therefore, it's written. In Luke chapter 21. Watch, therefore. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And there's some hope for us. By watching and praying, we may find ourselves worthy to escape all of this. That's written in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. That's Jesus speaking. Now, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to ask again, like I did last week, what will it take to get people's attention? What will it take to get people to look at the signs? What will it take to get people prepared for the coming of Christ? I think it'll take exactly what he said it would take. I think it's going to take the earthquakes. I think it's going to take the hurricanes. I think it's going to take the flooding. I think it's going to take all of these destructive things happening, the pestilence, all of the diseases, all of 30,000 diseases all over the world. 27 of them communicated by sexual activity. I think that's what it's going to take. I think the things that Jesus foretold is exactly what is necessary to gather the last number of souls that he has elected for salvation. They're chosen. God's servants are commissioned to tell everybody about Christ's return. We're commissioned. We're called to do it. But let's not be superstitious. When we see the signs that are being reported, we see the signs in the sun, we see the signs in the stars, we see the signs in the moon, we see the signs all over the earth. Let's not be superstitious. Let's lift up our heads. Let's rejoice. Let's pray. Let's maintain our faithfulness, because Jesus himself asked, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He had to have a reason to ask that question. That concerns me. It concerns me for all of you, and everybody who will hear this message needs to understand that Almighty God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's his call. And he will drive us to repentance. And still there will be those who ball up their fists and say, no way, I'm not going to change. We must remain watchful. Remind everybody, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, as it's written in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Remain watchful. Warn others, even if they stop their ears or cover their eyes. Even if they put their heads in the sand. And even if they say, signs? What signs? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that Christ is coming again. We know that we are to remain watchful. We know that we're seeing signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But God, we don't know what it all means specifically. We know generally, because your word tells us to watch for these things. You wouldn't have told us that they were going to happen if we weren't supposed to pay attention to them. But at the same time, we're not to be fearful. You tell us, be not afraid. You tell us when we see these things to look up and remember that our redemption draws near. We know that the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. God, give us strength to overcome temptation. Deliver us from evil, Lord. We know that nobody knows the day or the hour. But help us to watch and pray. We know, Lord, it's like the days of Noah. Everybody's eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, living their lives like there's no tomorrow, or like there's a million tomorrows. In any case, Lord, help us not to be like the world. Help us to be those who are faithful to you, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So be it. Now let's open our hymnals to number 151. 151. It's a little ditty called Jesus is Coming Again.